Okay, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You'll need to turn a little bit as we go through, some back and forth, just to give you a warning. Acts chapter 13. Paul here is giving a brief history of some of the things of the nation of Israel and from the Old Testament. We'll pick up in verse 21 where he's talking about Israel desiring a king. And so, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. If of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, I'm glad to be able to come this morning and stand once again in my imperfection with a perfect book before me. I know that there dwells in me the Spirit of Christ, which is perfect, and I have perfect righteousness through Him. Not because of what I've done, but, Lord, I know through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the case of all here that are saved. If there's somebody here unsaved this morning, I pray you'd help them see their need for some of the things we're talking about. Lord, we are reminded of just how far off track we were when we were lost. We thought we were something big. We thought that there was something, Father, of great virtue and value to our lives, but really, Lord, they were completely wasted. And I pray here this morning that you might help us see some things. May we as Christians never devalue what we've been called to do. And Father, may you give us a vision here that brings home to us our calling here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll read, as I was reading this passage some time back, my mind snagged on something in verse 22. It says there that the Lord said in the middle of the verse, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, let me get my throat clear here this morning. I'm not sure why I'm coughing so much, but it says there in verse 22 that God said, David shall fulfill all my will. Now, I need you to put that kind of on the back burner and let me wiggle into this sermon. We'll come back and visit that thought in a second. We're Bible believers here. Most of you know that, and most of you are well grounded there. Folks who aren't Bible believers are more likely to think more highly of their own virtues and their own flesh and self achievements than we are. You've been preached the Bible and taught the Bible and heard better preachers than me do it. The point is, most Bible believers have done a pretty good job in many cases of getting down the I am a dirty, rotten sinner part. Right? I mean, seriously, we know what we are. I know what I am. You know, the song says, you know, I'm a worm. I'm a sinner. You're a dirt ball. There's all kinds of names we can call each other, and they would all be true. Because we got that part down because it's true. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jokes don't hurt our feelings too much. I remember telling a joke down at PBI one time, and I did it just to aggravate Spurgeon because I knew he'd take it well. But, you know, what's the difference between a vacuum cleaner and a Harley Davidson? Well, the vacuum cleaner has the dirt bag on the inside. And Spurgeon just laughed, you know. And so those kind of jokes don't bother us because we know what we are, right? Worst thing somebody can say about you is that you deserve to go to hell. And they're right. They're right every time. So the Bible and the Holy Spirit and the Lord using preaching has made us extremely aware of where we stand. Folks, I mean, in some ways, folks in the Old Testament had it better than we do. because folks in the Old Testament had never heard that he that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her. They didn't have that on their conscience. They hadn't heard that covetousness is idolatry, which we have in the New Testament. They had never heard that he that hates his brother is a murderer. And so, I mean, folks, when the Lord turned this thing over to grace, because now you can see how badly you need grace. I mean, folks, we are sinners in the extreme. The old preacher said, when I preach, I sin. When I pray, I sin. My repentance needs to be repented of, and my tears washed in the blood of Christ. I'm not going to depress you this morning, because better things are coming, but you're bad. You're bad all the way down to the core. You're bad. We all are. And in my most sanctified moments, there are still really dark currents in my heart. You know, my most sanctified hour, there are still things that work. You know, I find thoughts rumbling around back in the dark that aren't fit for a Christian. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, really, the point is, you know, I never would have questioned Paul's sanctification, but Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He wrote all of Romans 6 and Romans 7, showing you that there was a desperately depraved man inside that vessel that was Paul. And so, bottom line is, we're sinners, right? We are not naive to our own nature. Now, I say all that to say this. As true as that is, and it's true, now there's a trap that's associated with that if you're not careful. And the trap that's associated with that is that because I am so sorry, because I am so bad, because I am so wicked, even now, with Christ indwelling this body, as saved as I am, with the standing that I have in Christ, I probably couldn't win a victory anyway, because after all, I'm a scuzzbag. There's no need for me to really fight a fight and travail and try to win a victory, because after all, about the best I can do doesn't meet His standards anyway. There's a danger in thinking that. If you're not careful, you'll get thinking like somebody that's just a parasite to grace, where your entire life is just built around just sucking blood off of God. You have eternal life, but you could never achieve anything pleasing or right or good. And I want to say that's not true. That's not true. There's a danger on the one side of folks that don't realize that the Lord has a standard for us to live, where they just don't live like it and don't care to. On the other hand, you can feel so badly about yourself if you're not careful that you never try and never endeavor to do something for the Lord. Now, by this we can excuse our failures. After all, I'm a dirtbag anyway, so I could never do anything for God. I just want you to know that that's not true. God is holy, but God is also practical. And so what did the Lord do? The Lord put you in Jesus Christ. He gave you a perfect standing. That standing is unassailable. If you're in Jesus Christ by faith, then that standing is unassailable. You will never be accused in court by the devil of anything that will stick to you. You're a Teflon man if you have Jesus Christ. Now, that's standing. Problem is, you're still stuck here in this body. You know this well, that state. And what the Lord has done is that He intends for you to fight the fight while you remain in this body, but He's given you grace and liberty to fall back on. So I'm not obligated to keep those integral ordinances of the law and count heads and count things, because I'm not responsible for those things. I've been given perfect grace in Jesus Christ. I've been given perfect salvation in Jesus Christ. And so I said, the Lord is holy, but the Lord is also practical. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, There's a battle for you to fight. I know you're a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know how bad a sinner I am. And folks, it's bad, worse than you know. Don't worry, I don't have a scandal going, but it's worse than you know. I know my innards. You don't know them unless you know yours. And mine are bad. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, with all those things still true, did you know that Ephesians 4 still says that we are called to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called? You're called as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're called to live like one. You can't just say, well, I can't because I'm such a dirty, rotten sinner. You may be a dirty, rotten sinner, so go and get under the blood, but you're still called to walk worthy of a vocation. It says there in Colossians 1 that we are called to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2 that we're called to walk worthy of God as dear children. So what's the point? The point is, you are called to live a holy life. Be ye holy as I am holy. The Lord understands what you are inside. He understands that as you read your Bible and try to live your life, you're going to have a conflict between the old man and the new man, and the old man is going to make you look real bad. Aren't you glad you have the new man to put on, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, that I say all that to bring you back to this thing that I mentioned in chapter 13, verse 22. I had to establish that you were really bad and that I'm really bad. And in spite of the fact that you're really bad, the Lord still has an expectation for you to overcome. Notice in chapter 13, verse 22, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He shall fulfill all my will. When I thought about David fulfilling all of God's will, all of it, my first thought was, yeah, well, what about that 70,000 deaths that he was responsible for when he numbered Israel? Then I thought, yeah, well, what about Bathsheba? And what about following that, you know, the Uriah the Hittite incident and some other incidents? David lived with more than one wife his entire time in the palace. And yet, the Bible says that he shall fulfill all my will. All of David's blemishes, true enough, and yet, at the same time, the Lord never retracted that statement. He never said, well, yeah, I'd intended for David to fulfill all my will, but he didn't, so too bad. He never said that. So I draw from that conclusion, and building on what I've said already this morning, that there's a fulfillable thing. David was able to fulfill all of God's will. And so I want to preach to you for a little while, and this will be mainly in the positive. I've covered most of the negative so far with one little brief exception. Just hang in there a little longer. I just want to say, I want to preach to you for a while about fulfillable things. If you're not careful, you get thinking, I mean, once the Bible gets ingrained in your bones, and you have some verses memorized, and you realize, once the Lord shows you, you know, really what you are inside, it's possible, if you're not careful, to do the wrong thing with that information and never go back to leaning up on grace and liberty that we have, and never getting a victory over those things, because after all, you're just so, so bad. Well, you're supposed to still win victories. In spite of the fact that you are so, so bad. You do so by the blood of Christ. You do so by the power of God. Amen. I want you to see that there are some things that are fulfillable. Now, again, maybe you're well enough, deeply enough ingrained in this already that I don't need to say it, but just let me say it anyway. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. This is the last major forewarning of this passage. The rest of it's pretty positive, actually. But I want to warn you that with the way things go, that if you're not careful, you will wind up fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Look in Ephesians 2. You are called to a high and noble calling. It's hard to get a hold of sometimes. It's hard for a new Christian kind of to get a handle on it. You're given a perfect standing in Christ, and yet you still live in this wretched body with all these wretched thoughts and wretched imaginations, and the world keeps plucking at you, and the devil keeps a-picking at you, and everywhere you turn, you're dragged down. So you got to know what to do with those things. You have a perfect standing in Christ, and yet still living in this flesh, you're still called to live victoriously. Now again, first of all, Ephesians 2:1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." Now if you're saved, that's not where your conversation should be anymore, right? Where? "In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now that's the danger. That's the first point here. It's still fair, having said all that I've already said, that if you're not careful, if things go with you the way things generally go with the average quote-unquote Christian, what you will spend the rest of your life doing is fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's not good. That's how you lived when you were lost. I thought you were a new creature in Christ, and you are if you're saved, but it's a fight. Now notice here in this passage, things can go south in a hurry for you. You get saved, you're a new creature in Christ, being newly born again, and yet what you still learn is that there's this thing within you. Paul cited it in various occasions. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. "You know, I find this law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." And what that is that same old man that you always lived with that kept you down in the world. And most people just never are able to put the desires of the flesh and of the mind down and not fulfill those. You don't have to go to this verse, but Galatians 5 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, folks, I'm talking about fulfillable things this morning. One thing you can fulfill. You can, as a Christian, fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You can do that. In fact, I dare say that a vast proportion of Christianity does. You have a higher calling than that. You need to find better ground than that. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Romans 13 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof." Now, folks, one very real possibility, I lived this way for 10 years of my own life after I was saved, is that you can live fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. If you're not careful, if you go by what the world says, by what the world thinks, you'll wind up living by the rudiments and standards of the world instead of living by what the Bible says. And if you're living by their standards, their ambitions, the dreams that they shove into your head via radio and media and such, you'll wind up doing nothing but serving you. You wind up serving the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You can fulfill that. It's just not that many people any longer that escape those clutches, and it is a battle all the way. I've always thought of it this way. I've always thought how the world we live in, the culture, just the world, in conjunction with my flesh, in conjunction with the way things work, is that now the floor is inclined, it's tilted off in a certain direction. And it seems like as the times get darker and the perilous times get deeper, that the steepness of the incline gets more and more. And so you have to work all the harder not to go that route. That's what the flesh is like. That's what you're now living in a world that's given over to the flesh, that's given over to the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so this sermon is to combat that. Because I want you to know that in spite of the fact that your flesh loves to feed on those things, you actually can fulfill a higher calling. David fulfilled all of God's will. Take your Bible back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And so we'll start there. And I'll say, after having read Acts chapter 13, verse 22, one more time, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." The Lord never took that statement back. I believe that David did fulfill all of the Lord's will. You say, in spite of adultery, in spite of a count of 70,000 deaths to his credit after the numbering of the children of Israel, the Lord never took it back. I think that David did fulfill all his will. I'll tell you the good news. You don't have to fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind. You can fulfill all of God's will. All of it. You can fulfill the whole thing. God is holy. That's true. So he's given you in Christ a holy standing. Now, he left your body here just as it was, with all the desires and all of the depravity that it ever contained. But he gave you a standing. And so you're called to bring that standing and that state closer and closer together. Where you fail in your state, you're called to fall back on grace. You're called to fall back on liberty. The mercies of the Lord are everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But you're still called to fight a fight and not just be a parasite on grace, right? You can fulfill all of God's will. The Lord knew when he saved you that you were going to still be stuck in this body. And he knew that you were going to stumble and bumble and fall. And he knows that worms don't fly like eagles. Yet. One day I'll be an eagle. But right now I'm a worm. And the Lord knows there's going to be failures. Look. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There are folks that get so down on themselves. They know a little Bible. And they got a hold of the fact that they are wicked and they are depraved and all those things. I want you to know you can fulfill all of God's will. You can do it. You can be the mother you're supposed to be. You can be the father you're supposed to be. You're going to have to put up with some stuff. You're going to have to fight a fight. You're going to probably fall, and you're going to have to get back up, not just one time, not just seven, but probably 77 or more. But the fact of the matter is you can fulfill all of God's will. If David could fulfill all of God's will, and he did, in spite of all his failings, then you can. You shouldn't be discouraged. You shouldn't be defeated. You have Jesus Christ. You have perfect standing. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have grace. You have liberty. For all the burden of sin that's laid upon us, again, knowing that to look on a woman to lust after is to commit adultery with her, we know at the same time that grace is sure. We know that God's mercies through Christ are sure. You have victory. Paul said, in talking about his wretchedness, he said, here's what I do. I do this one thing. You guys know this. Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can do that. You can do that as well as Paul. You can fulfill all the will of God. Was Simon Peter rejected? All the times he put his foot in his mouth. Seemed like there for a while all Peter could do was mess up. Up and down, up and down. Was he ever rejected? Did Jesus Christ ever say, go away, I don't want to hear from you no more? That never happened. You can fulfill all the will of God. In Acts 23, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. You know, he had been warned three separate times, do not go to Jerusalem. Do not go to Jerusalem. Do not go to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem, got arrested, is stuck in jail, headed to Rome. Depressed, the angel of the Lord comes in there and says, be of good cheer, Paul. As you have borne witness to me in Jerusalem, you're still going to go to Rome and bear witness to me there. You're going to go in a slave ship, but you're going to go. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, you can fulfill God's will. You can do it. That's not a little humanistic rant. You can do it. You're called to do it. Just because you stumble, just because you fall, just because you've fallen before, it doesn't mean that you can't get back up and go forward. You can be the father you're supposed to be. You can be the mother you're supposed to be. You can fulfill the ministry you're supposed called to do. The fact that you have fallen does not mean you cannot get up. I'd like to say further, look in Acts chapter 13, and there are several things in this passage that are fulfilled, and that's what got me thinking. You will notice in verse 22 that David fulfilled all of God's will. Notice in verse 24, I should read verse 23 as well. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John, that is John the Baptist, had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? Oh, John fulfilled his course. You can fulfill your course. I know you're sorry. I know you're a sinner. Isn't that a pleasant thought? Folks, I get up every week here, multiple times a week, knowing what I am. It's not pretty. You say, oh, you got a drug habit? No. You have a concubine? No. That's just not even part of it. It's what I am inside. And somehow you have to get past those things and overcome those things. You can fulfill the will of God, the sinner that you are, by the power and grace of Jesus Christ. You can fulfill your course. John here, he fulfilled his course. It says down at verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? John fulfilled his course. John did his job. Now, you would think with a guy who, again, in Matthew chapter 11, sitting in jail and sends to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, are you the Messiah or do we send for another? Come on, get your act together because I'm getting really restless here in jail. Are you him or not? And the Jesus Christ healed some more folks, sent those messengers back to John and said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Right? Here is John with a bad attitude. Here is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the great prophet that folks have looked forward to for all these years. And here he is petulantly, almost as a child, in jail, challenging Jesus Christ to come on, do something, would you, bud? Well, it's kind of a failure, you know. But the Bible says that John fulfilled his course. Right there in verse 25, John fulfilled his course. He fulfilled his course along with an attitude adjustment, right? By the way, he got after petulantly saying that, he actually got quite a compliment from the Lord. I don't know that he ever heard it, but he got a compliment because after those messengers left, Jesus Christ said, who did you come out to see? He said, I'll tell you who you saw. And when you saw John, you saw the greatest prophet born among women. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, Maybe your record will be like that. Maybe you knowing all the stuff that you've pulled in the dark and all the thoughts that have run through your head, maybe you get to the judgment seat of Christ. That stuff's all washed away. Maybe he gives you more credit than you thought. I know. Judgment seat of Christ, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's lots of terrifying things there, not the least of which is God Himself. With Him is terrible majesty. His presence is a terrible majesty. It's terrible to be there. But at the same time, with the book, did you ever read Hebrews 11? Did you ever read about what some of those folks did in the Old Testament, and yet when you read about what they did in the New Testament in Hebrews 11, their record looks pretty sparkling. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, you can fulfill your course. You can fulfill all the will of God. What God did for you, and first of all, showing you how deep a sinner you are and really giving you the whole picture in the New Testament of just how bad things really are, because the guys in the Old Testament didn't get the full picture. They didn't know anything about covetousness being idolatry. You know. And so it's kind of hard to find any value to yourself. And yet, by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, by the eternal mercies of God, and in the liberty that we have by our standing in Christ, you can fulfill all the will of God. You can fulfill your course. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You can cite the verse for me. I don't know why I'm having you turn there, but 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice verse 7. Now the word fulfill isn't in the verse, but I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now here's Paul. Here's Paul, who not only was a torturer and perhaps an executioner, but here is a man who said well into his apostolic ministry, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, here's a man that said, "Guess what I did? I finished my course." You know what you can do? You can fulfill your course. Look in your Bible in Acts chapter 12. Acts 12. It may not be, you know, we normally think of it in this humongous picture. How about breaking it down into sizable chunks? How about breaking it down into things that you can do day by day? For instance, here is Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. "But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry." What was that? They went to Jerusalem for a purpose. They did what they were supposed to do. That part of their ministry was fulfilled. Bite it off in chunks, man. If it's time to pray, pray. And after, you know, you say, "Well, after I pray, I always feel bad because I didn't pray as well as I could." Yeah, but you prayed. So plead the blood over it and you fulfill that part of your day. Not that you shouldn't pray some more. But if you read your Bible, and if you witnessed to somebody, tried to win somebody to Christ, you fulfilled your course for that day. If you were a decent dad today and didn't blow up at your wife, then you fulfilled your course for the day. If you brought your family to church and encouraged them and did what you could, then you did your job today. You fulfilled your course today. Look in chapter 11 of Acts. Chapter 11, verse 28. "And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief and the brethren, unto the brethren rather, which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Well, that's what they fulfilled. They did that job. They did that part. How about, you know, if you got a toilet to scrub, scrub the toilet. And if you can pray over it and say, "Lord, help me scrub the toilet," and you succeed, you fulfilled your course for that part. It's not so much fulfilling 20 and 30 year chunks as much as it is fulfilling day by day minute things that you're supposed to do. You and I can do that. Look, for instance, again at Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, and notice verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Again, they fulfilled some small, daily portion of a ministry. You can do that chunk by chunk. Like I said the other night, folks, faithfulness, I hate to use the word, because some of you giggled the other night, but faithfulness is just not sexy. There's just not a parade involved. There's not confetti. There's an awful lot of mundane, rudimentary, arcane, boring, bill-paying, toilet-scrubbing, you know, hot water heater fixing, diaper changing stuff that goes on with being faithful with motherhood and fatherhood and being married and having a job and all those things. And you can't fulfill a greater ministry if you can't take care of little things. You're called to be faithful first in the little things, then to be given something more. And so really this whole battle is about fulfilling small chunks. But these guys fulfilled their course. Look at one more place, Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 4. Just want you to know, I'm not talking off the cuff here, that there's passages for this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, Paul didn't say, yeah, you know, you can try to fulfill it, but fat chance on that because you're such a wicked sinner like the rest of us. If you took that tack on all that's in the Bible, none of us would ever succeed at anything acceptably. And that's not what the Lord's called you to do. You can fulfill God's will. You can fulfill your course. Look at Acts chapter 13 once again, because there's a little more here. Notice, if you will, verse 27. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them. They have fulfilled those scriptures in condemning him, condemning Christ. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. Twice there, those wicked men fulfilled the Scripture and what they did with Jesus Christ. So I want to say, okay, you can fulfill the Scriptures. You can. Now, these men fulfilled it in a negative fashion. You can see that. I know there's no question about that. You will fulfill the Scriptures, either positively or negatively. I mean, look, you're either going to be a Laodicean Christian, or you're going to do what the Bible says. You're going to do one or the other. You're trapped. Or it has you painted in a corner where you're going to fulfill the Scriptures either way you go. Okay? You don't have to go the way of Laodicea. Let me give you an example. Look in Acts chapter 1 real fast. Told you there'd be just a little bit of turning. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And notice verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Judas fulfilled the Scriptures. I bet he wasn't thinking about that when he sold out. Right? My point is, look, you're going to fulfill the Scriptures either way. Did you know it is possible for you to fulfill the Scriptures in a positive light? Look, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's the way things are inclined today. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That happens all around us. It happens all too easily to us. But you don't have to go that route. But you will without effort. 2 Timothy 3, their time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. That's the way things are inclined today. Everybody is flaunting the flesh. Everybody is pleasing the flesh. The easiest thing in the world to do is go to a church where they're pleasing the flesh. After all, church is church. And they do have the Word of God there, you know, and they do sing some songs there, albeit rock and roll songs. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, you can fulfill the Scriptures. These folks fulfill the Scriptures. Now, you can fulfill it the other way, the right way. You can be a witness. You're called to be that. It takes effort, but you're called to be that. You can be a light. You're called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're called to be a blessing. You can fulfill the scriptures. You can be on that side of things where the Lord comes back, and sure enough, He finds faith on earth in me. Imagine that. Me. I always kind of lumped myself in with that bunch that, you know, was probably going to be a wretched failure, but it's just possible through the grace and power of Jesus Christ, obeying the scriptures bit by bit, fulfilling God's will bit by bit, fulfilling my course bit by bit, and obeying the scriptures bit by bit, that it's just possible I might wind up on the positive side of this thing. That'd be a grand thing at the judgment seat of Christ. Look, I don't want to sound like some humanist, but you can do it. You can do it. You see here in this passage, you can do it. Notice something else, and again, pardon me for going over to a few books, but first of all, Matthew chapter 3, and then Romans chapter 8. Matthew 3 and Romans 8. The natural inclination and the great danger is that you will fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind. That's the way things go when you're not taught, when you're not discipled, when you don't grow, you just serve the flesh. But you can fulfill God's will. David did all God's will. You can fulfill your course. You can fulfill the scriptures in a way that's not condemning. There's this. Look in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee and to Jordan and John unto John to be baptized of him, and John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And you say, well, that was Jesus Christ. I mean, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was perfect. He was called to fulfill all righteousness. And okay, I understand where you're coming from with that. But look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Folks, I'm showing you this morning, I just want you to see that there is a practical victory in the Christian life. You know, I know we have the lesson down, yes, we're dirtbags. Yes, we're wicked and all those things, but there's still a victory to be had because the Lord delivered you the victory. For instance, here in Romans chapter 8, go down, if you will, to verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ said, I've come to fulfill all righteousness. I know you can never fulfill all righteousness in the way Christ did because you can't be sinless. And so He fulfilled righteousness for you. Now because you have that standing in Christ, now you're called to fulfill some of your own righteousness. And the Lord kind of made it simple, or simpler, but notice the simplicity of it is in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look in chapter 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You see, in the Old Testament, everybody had to be worried about Sabbath days and circumcision and, you know, feast days and Passover and Day of Atonement and all those intricate issues of ordinances. And we're relieved from all those ordinances and stuff. Things boil down for us. First great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Second great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you know, that's an awful lot of Bible to put in your back pocket and say, on those two hang all the law of the prophets. That's an awful lot of Bible to stick in your pocket on two commandments. And that's what I mean. In its own right, the Lord has simplified this much more for us now. You can fulfill all righteousness. First of all, you have a standing in Christ, right? And now you know the simplicity of some things. Loving your neighbor and loving God and being faithful goes a long way in fulfilling all the will of God, fulfilling your course, and fulfilling the Scriptures. Notice a couple other things here real fast. Take your Bible, turn over to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to have to leave Acts 13 here for just a minute, but we'll be back. Luke 21. Now, something that has always plagued man is the Lord doesn't do with time what man would like God to do. But in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, notice, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." See that time fulfilled there? Look at just another passage here, Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And notice verse 3. Talking about the devil being cast into the bottomless pit. This is in the millennium, still in the future. "Shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed for a little season." Now what that shows you is that time has fulfillment with God. We're not very good with time because we only have so much, so limited. I mean, when one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and to us, 1,000 years is 10 lifetimes. I mean, we're stuck here. I've been in this body for 58 years. I ain't seen nothing. And so what's the point? Well, it's hard to see much fulfilled on the God scale in living 50 or 60 years or 70 or 80 years or 100 years. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years. Well, you know, 1,000 years is 10 of my lifetimes. Generously 10 and probably more, right? So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, time's going to be fulfilled, whether you like it or not. Think of all the things that have been fulfilled before I was born. I mean, just before I was born, not a few years, but the Lord restored Israel to the land. That's something that Israel had been looking forward to for 2,000 years. I'm waiting 2,000 years for something to happen is like, whoa. I don't have the patience for that, nor the lifetime. My point, folks, is that you can fulfill all the will of God. There's lots of things that, these are fulfillable things. And you're now living on the cusp of something. Because Israel has been restored, at least in part, to the land. We now live on the cusp of a rapture happening. Daniel's 70th week is just on the other side of that thing. You're going to see it fulfilled. Is it possible that I could die before it's fulfilled? Yes, it's possible. It's possible it could run, conceivably, a couple more generations, but you are literally on the cusp. And regardless, you're going to see it anyway. You're going to get out of here if you're saved. You're going to get raptured out of here, then you're going to see it anyway. See, what's the point? Time fulfilled. You're going to see these times fulfilled. Not just times, but if you're, since you're in Luke 22 real fast, Luke 22, and this pretty much equals the same thing, I get that, but verse 22:16, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Coming a day when Jesus Christ comes into His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and both the kingdom of God are going to be present on this earth. You're going to see the kingdom of God fulfilled. It's not just time fulfilled, it's events fulfilled. Again, a rapture, a great tribulation, a second coming, a millennium. You're going to see all that. And one day you're going to be eternal, and time's going to mean no more to you than it means to God, no more than it means to Jesus Christ. You say, what's the point? You're a worm right now. You're crawling around down here trying to figure out how to fulfill the will of God, how to fulfill some of these other things we've talked about here this morning. And all these things are coming down upon us, and you are going to see it. Don't worry about it. You're going to see it if you're saved. I'll tell you something else that ought to be real to you. Look, if you will, in John chapter 17. And I'm just about done, so no, I won't be turning forever. And the great tribulation will not probably come upon us while we're doing this. So, John chapter 17. John chapter 17, go down to verse 13. And now come I to thee. This is the Lord talking to his Father, Jesus Christ talking to God. And these things I speak in the world that they, his disciples, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now you should ask yourself that. Sometimes it's hard to see whether you will fulfill all the will of God. And some of these other things we've talked about here this morning, but is there not a sanctified place in your inner heart and inner life where Jesus Christ has hewn out a place, and there's that place is inhabited by his joy, not your joy, not a happy birthday party, but I mean his joy, that thing which joys eternally in something righteous, in knowing that you're going to live forever? Is there not a place like that? Because he desires that his joy might be fulfilled in each and every one of us. Now there is one other thing. Go back to Acts chapter 13, then I'll be done. Acts chapter 13. You can fulfill all of God's will. You can fulfill your course. A mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a Sunday school teacher, a friend, a grandmother, right down the line, you name off all these things, you can fulfill your place in those things, your call to. You can fulfill the Scriptures without it being a judgment. You can fulfill all righteousness. You're called to live righteous. You will see time fulfilled. You will see events fulfilled. You should have a measure of his joy fulfilled in yourself. And then there's this, Acts chapter 13, and go down to verse 30, 31. Talking about Christ raised from the dead. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled, the same unto us our children. God made promises to the fathers that God fulfilled to us their children. I want to say that you have seen promises fulfilled, and you will see more fulfilled. You're living a promise right now. It's been it's stricken me hard over this last several months, just because it's something that I'm working on. I told you some about it on Wednesday. Maybe I'll say more about it another time. But when you consider that we are living his promises, folks, God gave his son Jesus Christ so that you could have a perfect standing. I mean, look, when God looks at you, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, if you are in him. If you are saved, you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you've got it all. By having it all, I mean that the Lord looks at you and sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. It is a perfect standing. It is an absolute, unassailable standing by the devil, by the world, by the flesh. You say, well, it sure is a downer that I have to be stuck here in this stinking flesh. Yeah, it sure is a downer, but it sure is nice to have that insurance policy, because you have a perfect standing. And the state, you're sick, you're hurting, you're defeated, you keep falling, you keep trying to pray and it doesn't work out all that great for you. You have tried memorizing the Bible and it just sure is hard work. You sure have attempted to fight the devil, but he keeps seeming to get the leg up on you. You've been trying to defeat the habit, and the flesh just continues to wail on you. Sure is nice to have that insurance policy. Sure is nice to be able to get up in the morning and count it all loss and start over again as a new creature in Christ. Sure is nice. Sure is nice. And that's what I say. You can ring victory. You can fulfill all you're supposed to fulfill out of that scenario because of your perfect standing and because of the power and blood of Jesus Christ. And so, labor to fulfill all the will of God. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Like an Amway convention. But you can do it. It is a very positive thing. He has already done it. The victory is yours. Your salvation's complete. You can't be more saved than you are. He's just going to redeem the body one day, and then you'll be done with it. In the meantime, you can fulfill all the will of God. David fulfilled all the will of God. You can do it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, pray be an encouragement to your people.